Yeah. So is that part of, I haven't been taking notes. So is that one of the five of aspects of listening?
That is actually number five.
Oh, okay.
You thought
we were
still
going to have to review.
You're still on number. You thought I was still on number one.
I'm not listening very well over here.
Well, that's all right. I personally checked out about 12 minutes ago. Welcome to the Nick Biddle Life and Leadership Podcast. I'm Nick Biddle, and this is my wife, Tarina.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back.
You're welcome.
Not that I've given you a choice.
But I know.
This is what we're doing.
That's what we're doing.
This is what we signed up to do.
That's right.
So last time we talked about your career.
Yes.
And you got to work a little bit, mm-hmm. which was great. You even made some money.
Right.
Which is, I think Kyle's going to appreciate that. Who's Kyle? He's our UPS guy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I'm
like, how do you not? I was like, which Kyle?
You gave Kyle.
I'm so sorry.
Didn't you give him a Christmas card?
I did.
Yeah. So he's like a member of the family.
Right.
He comes by every day.
Not every day. Now it's just 3 days a week.
Well, that's right. They have limited.
We have limited delivery, which is a huge problem.
I know there's a problem because sometimes he just pulls up to the door and sometimes he backs in. And when he backs in, I get nervous. But,
okay, redirect.
But that's okay. Back on track.
Yeah.
So last time we did talk about your career and just what a great listener you are, but also told a story around Help Me Understand and that foreman down in mm-hmm. Houston. Did you like that story?
I did.
Yeah. That is such
I always have.
That's such a powerful, I think it's a powerful story. And one of the, I think too often we carry our emotions on our sleeve and we get so emotional when something happens that we see as bad or perceive as bad.
Emotional, or you can call it judgmental.
Well, yeah, a lot of judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, why aren't they taking this more seriously?
I know.
Why can't they get to work on time? But we do a lot of that. But man, when we do that, we don't collect the facts.
Yes.
And I think we have to do a better job of collecting the facts. And, mm-hmm. and you know, and then there's benefit to that. One, you're going to make a better decision. And let's say you get a bunch of facts. What if he'd have said, help me understand why you're not showing up for work? And he's like, man, I'm in a fantasy football league and I just can't put it down. Okay, well, let me help you with that. And we will fire you and we will let you pursue your career in football.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case with him. And he had some real problems. And that foreman did a better job of listening and was able to connect with him and take care of those problems. And then think of the loyalty that created. I mean, was that young man a little more loyal to that company?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you say something bad about the company he works for, he'd be at your house tonight throwing rocks through your windows. Mm-hmm. He just would. Yeah. And I think that's just one of the benefits of asking questions. And I love telling that story. I love telling stories in general.
Yeah, I'm really good at that.
Well, I'm
always have been.
Thank you. I'm getting better. You know, a master storyteller was my grandfather.
Absolutely.
Lewis Bass. And those of you that sat through my workshops, that he's the one that did the structural engineering on the Superdome, the Astrodome, and mm-hmm. a lot of those big projects. But what I know him for is being a great storyteller.
Yeah. While we were fishing and while you were hunting with him.
I remember, and we were talking about your potty mouth last time. Grandpa would tell a story that when he was, I think he was in like third or fourth grade, he said he and his buddies in recess decided to go around the back of the school building and practice their cussing.
Oh,
you know, practice their swear words. And he said, so we'd go around a circle and, you know, we each had a phrase that we'd been working on all week and we'd let it out, you know, and see what kind of impact it had.
Oh, my goodness.
He said what we didn't realize is that the window was open right above us, you know, and that's where the teacher, the principal was, you know, it was his window. He said, we're out there practicing our swear words. And he said, because, you know, you got to practice those. You can't just be an amateur and let a swear word fly without knowing how it's going to come out or which syllable you put emphasis on. And so he said, we're practicing, going around. And he said, all of a sudden, he feels somebody. And he said the principal had reached out and grabbed him by the shirt collar, lifted him right off the ground, pulled him right in the window, you know. But we don't. I try not to have a potty mouth. But growing up on the farm, it is difficult because there is a different language that we use when we round up cattle.
Oh dear!
You know, I saw a label the other day on a package of steaks, and it was on Facebook, but I don't know if it was real or not. But it said this beef was humanely raised, but it was verbally abused. You know, and there is a lot of truth. A lot of truth.
Rounding
to that.
Up cattle is super stressful. That's a different conversation.
That's right. My buddy Kenton. He says, I don't swear, but there's a different language we use when we're rounding up cattle. You know? But no, it's all good. So let's talk about the five aspects of listening. And these aren't mine. I'm stealing these from somebody else. I heard them on a podcast years ago. I don't know whose podcast it was. If it's yours and I'm stealing your stuff, well, call me. We'll work it out.
You're sharing.
Caring is sharing. Sharing is caring. That's right. But I just think they were so great.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think about listening, most of us do a horrible job of listening. And why is it? Why do we do such a bad job of listening? And I'm not saying you. I'm just talking about people in general.
It's not about us.
Because we want it to be about us.
Right. You got to shut your mouth.
It's hard to just shut up and listen. And when I teach this in workshops, I'll just go through the five aspects of listening, and I'll do that right now. But, you know, the first aspect of listening, and when I mean aspect, it's like, what are you listening for in a conversation? Because different conversations require us to hear different things.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is details. Some of the conversations we have, it's all about the details. And I mean, have you ever had a conversation where the details were critical? And if you didn't listen to those details, you missed the conversation?
Yes, because I was trying to formulate what I was going to say, because I'm a very, very introvert, I don't like talking to a bunch of people anyway. I make that mistake all the time.
Yeah, we're thinking about what are we going to say once this person shuts up or takes a breath. And we know some people that you could sit there and think about what you're going to say for a long time.
And never get a break.
Never have to speak up.
Yeah, I like this.
But we're not doing a good job of listening in that. But some conversations that we have, it's all about the details. And I think about, you know, in the construction world, conversations that are all about the details might be job layout. It might be specs on a piece of equipment. I think about at our house, in our home, when I'm having a conversation with Cruz, especially when he was little, if I was going to leave for the week, if I was going to be on the road and I had to talk to him about feeding the dogs, you know, it was all about the details. It's like, you got to open the gate and then I want you to put the dog food in
this spot.
And then I want you to close the gate. You know, you got to close it back. But we will screw up a detailed conversation when it's one word. Can you think of a conversation that is a one-word conversation and we don't hear the one word? I'm putting you on the spot.
No.
Have you ever introduced yourself to somebody and they tell you their name and you have no idea what they said?
Oh, yeah, because I think I have short-term memory loss.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
No.
Taking some vitamins for that.
Are you? You're getting some supplements?
Yeah.
But we will go up to somebody, and we will introduce ourselves, or they will introduce themselves to us, and they will tell us their name.
And I'll be like, man, what did they say?
What was their? It was one word. And we didn't hear it.
And it's the most important one.
It's the most important one. I do this all the time.
No, you don't.
Oh, I screw it up all the time. What are we doing that we don't hear somebody tell us what their name is? What are we thinking about?
Who knows?
I think most people are thinking about, maybe they're trying to remember their name. Is that what they're trying to do? They're trying to remember, what am I going to say when they ask me what my name is? I don't know. I just think that's how disengaged we are in listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the conversations are all about the details. And I think it's important to be aware of what type of conversation you're stepping into. is this a detailed conversation? I've got a project that I make my workshops build, and I set them up for failure, but I will bring a foreman, and I'll split up the room into groups of three or five, and then I will have each group got to select a foreman, and they got to come out in the hallway, and I will give them a list of details that they need to know to successfully complete this project. And we do this right after we talk about these five aspects of listening. And so they have to listen to the details, but most of them don't. Most of them glaze right over the details, because if we don't mentally prepare ourselves to listen to details that are coming, we miss them. We miss them. And a friend of mine, Carlin, he's really good with names. And he says, when you're walking up to somebody, you need to be asking yourself, give your brain the command. What is their name? What is their name? What is their name? Say that to yourself before you ask somebody's name, because you're giving your brain a command to hear and remember their name.
Hmm.
And we still screw it up, right? So the first aspect of listening is details. And I think a great communicator is going to lead with that. It's like, hey, pay attention to the details. Hey, write these details down. Yeah. I'm getting ready to give you some details because I want that person to be successful. And how often when we're communicating with somebody, especially if it's an employer-employee relationship, where we're almost setting them up for failure.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I'm not going to tell you the details are important here, because if you can't figure that out, you don't need to work here. It's like, how stupid are we?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's tell somebody. It's like, hey, I'm going to give you a list of details here. I want you to write them down. These are important. Not all the conversations we have are about the details, because the second aspect of listening is big picture. Some of the conversations are big picture conversations. The details don't matter. And actually, if we dive into the details, we're going to create some separation in that relationship, because it looks like we're not connected to what's going on. I mean, have you ever been in a big picture, a 30,000-foot view conversation, and there's some idiot over there in the corner always jumping into the details?
Yeah.
And it's like, shut up. Doesn't matter. Well, that's a next step.
Yeah.
If you think in terms of first step, next step, those details might be a next step conversation, because sometimes it's big picture. When my clients are with a design build client, that's big picture. I remember I was out in Clearwater, Florida, and you were with me on that trip.
Yeah.
And I'd set through I'd done a workshop, maybe 3 or 4 hours for this group. And about halfway through, the CEO of the company comes up during a break. And he said, boy, Nick, I'd like for you to do something for our entire company. And it might take a week or two or who knows, but I think everybody in the company needs to go through a workshop like this. Man, that's big picture conversation.
Yes.
If I start going down into details, well, how often are we going to have breaks, John? Or, you know, what are we going to do here? And what do you want me to wear? And, you know, where the tables are going to be? It's no.
That doesn't matter.
He'd be like, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
That was 30,000-foot view conversation. That's where it needed to stay.
Yes.
That's where I need to talk about results, you know, the benefits that the audience is going to see.
Yeah. And hear what he wants.
And listen.
Yeah.
And absolutely listen.
Yeah.
But some of the conversations we have aren't about the details. They're not about big picture. Sometimes it's about what's not being said.
Mm-hmm.
It's that body language.
Yes.
How many conversations do we have where it's not about what they're saying, but it's about what they're not saying?
Yeah, a lot.
A lot. Think about with our kids even.
Yes.
A lot of body language.
Every day.
Every day. I see this. Not anymore. I've heard other people that are married struggle with this a lot. We don't, but they will come home. They will ask their significant other how they're doing, and they will hear the word fine. I am fine. Are they fine?
No.
No. It's not about what they're saying. It's about what they're not saying. And if we're not in tune to that, we're gonna screw that up.
Yeah.
And I see this happen a lot in the construction industry and really with all industries, but, you know, apprentices, and apprentices, for those of you that aren't in the construction industry, is somebody who's just getting started. You know, they're typically pretty green in the industry. The electrical apprenticeship is a 5-year apprenticeship before you test out and get your journeyman's license. Sheet metal's 4. But, you know, most of the licensed trades have an apprenticeship, mm-hmm. but it's really a new hire. But I was working with a group of apprentices a few years ago, and one of the apprentices, he was a first year apprentice. He said, "Yeah, boy, Nick, my boss used to ride me like Zorro." He said, "But now he doesn't bother me at all." Is that a good thing?
No.
No. He thinks he's great because he's not getting his butt chewed. But what happened?
His boss gave up.
But gave up.
Yeah.
His boss gave up.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I'm not even going to waste my breath.
Yeah.
Can clients give up on us?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. And if we're not in tune to what's not being said, we think no news is good news. No.
Mm-mm.
No. No news is not good news.
Yeah.
Sometimes that no news, we better really dig in deeper and figure out what's not being said.
Yeah.
And if we're not in tune to that, we're going to miss it.
Yes. I don't know how good your microphone is, but my stomach is growling over and over. I hope it's not catching
it. Is it? What are we doing for lunch? You got any plans?
I haven't thought that through yet.
No. That's all right.
I usually don't think this thing through.
No. So, first aspect of listening, listen for details. Sometimes we got to listen to big picture.
Yes.
Sometimes we got to listen to what's not being said. Sometimes we got to listen for empathy,
mm-hmm.
or listen to empathize. You might be good at this. Are guys good at this typically?
That's a hard question you're asking me. Because I was going to say, I feel like I'm pretty good at that. But I feel like you're pretty good at that too. But overall, I think that's just a hard one, especially in the construction world. I think that the tough guy role, I don't know. I just think that's it appears weak.
Yeah, I think we see it as a weakness,
mm-hmm.
especially some of the guys that I work with got a lot of gray hair.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't need that crap.
Yeah.
I don't, no, I'm not. Definitely. No empathy. I mean, that's a dirty word.
Yeah.
In our business.
Yes.
But boy, what I've seen in the last several years, well, we got a lot of hurting people in our industry.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people dealing
in life
with a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to be a better communicator,
mm-hmm.
sometimes we just got to shut up and listen.
Yes.
Let somebody vent,
yep.
and not make it about us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listening to empathize or listen for empathy, I mean, that's just going to just shut up and listen. That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
But I was, like I was saying before, there's had a superintendent in Salt Lake City. And he said, this was right after COVID, but he said, Nick, most of the day, I'm getting my butt chewed by my foreman.
Mm.
And he said, what they need, they just need somebody to vent to. And he said, after 30 minutes to 45 minutes, they just got to let some of that pressure off. And I was in Minneapolis, this was last year, and I had a foreman in one of my workshops. And he said, boy, Nick, he said, the other day I had this is electrical foreman, but he had a low voltage foreman. It was a different sub they were using. And he said, this foreman called me and chewed my butt for about 30 minutes. And he said, after a while, I just thought, man, I don't know how to help this guy. I don't know what to do. And he said, I finally told him, I said, listen, man, I hate you're dealing with this. I don't know what to do. And the other guy was like, no, I think I'm good. I mean, he just needed to vent.
Yeah.
And when you think about somebody who just needs to vent, I mean, if you can imagine a pressure tank. And a pressure tank, once it gets so much pressure built up, it's got a relief valve on it. And it's going to let some of that pressure out. And when someone needs to vent, that's what you're doing. You're basically going over there and you're manually pulling on that relief valve. And you're letting a little pressure out of that vessel or out of that tank so he doesn't explode.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think the three most powerful words that you can say to anybody who needs you to just listen are tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more. Mark LeBlanc taught me that. Because you're going to have somebody, they're going to vent, they're going to explode, you know, there's going to be a lot of emotion in there, and just let them let it out. And then pause. And then just say, tell me more. Because when we say, tell me more, it does a couple of things. One, a lot of times, the first emotion we have when we finally do vent or blow up is there's a little bit of relief. We let some of that pressure off. But what do you think the emotion that follows that is?
I don't know.
I think it's regret.
Oh.
And that's okay. But I think it's regret. I think, because immediately we're like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have, I should have just kept that in. I mean, here I am. I'm paid to be the boss. I shouldn't be venting at somebody. I shouldn't be chewing somebody. I should have just kept that in.
Yeah.
And so we automatically feel regret. We'll feel relief and then immediately feel regret. And when we say, tell me more, one, you're manually pulling that valve or that relief valve, and you're letting a little more pressure out of that tank, but you're also giving them permission to do what they just did.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them permission to vent. And I think when we can be what that person wants and needs in that moment, you know, great things can happen. And I want to ask you a question here. You may not know the answer to it, but why is it so hard for guys to just shut up and listen? What are we usually trying to do?
Fix things.
We're trying to fix it. Yeah.
You're fixers, your caregiver. I mean, well, caregiving is not the right word, but
no.
Take care of. I mean, you want to take care of me and our family, and if we have a problem, you want to fix it. Protective.
Fix it.
It's like protective mechanism, I think.
Yeah, I think we're just full of ego and pride, and we're just mostly stupid. But no, we want to fix it. We think we're so dadgum good at fixing everything. Well, yeah, we're like Vanilla Ice. You got a problem, I'll solve it. I mean, that's dating.
That takes me back.
That takes you way back. But we just want to fix it.
Yeah.
And we think, oh, I am so good at fixing stuff. Bring me your problems, you know. And you walk in and like, Nick, here, and I'm like, you're healed, you know. I want to fix it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of problems out there nobody wants fixed.
Mm-hmm. They just want heard.
I mean, think how often I screw this up at home. I come home, you know, think about it. I come home, while I'm home, everything breaks loose.
Uh-huh.
Everything. While I'm gone on the road, everything breaks.
We'll have a tornado.
The tornado happens.
Yeah.
The kids will be disrupted. You know, you're ready to kill the kids or sell them on eBay,
no.
Right? My neighbor.
Some alarm will go off. I can't shut off.
Yeah, smoke alarm. The batteries will run out. Light bulbs will go out. Neighbors giving us grief. What do I want to do when I get home? I'm going to whoop those kids. I'm going to throat punch the neighbor. I mean, I want to fix it all.
Yeah.
And what do you want me to do?
Just listen.
Just shut up and listen.
Let's do it together. Yeah.
Yeah, just listen.
Teach me so that I can do it next time.
But yeah, you don't want me to fix it. Now, eventually, but not as a first step.
No.
But it's like, just shut up and listen, Nick. Because I come in there like Tasmanian devil or bull in a china closet, and it's just a path of destruction. But I feel like I've gotten better with that.
Yeah, you do a great job.
Because now I'll come home, help me understand what's going on, and you're like, the kids, your neighbor, and all this stuff.
Let's
and,
make a list. We'll work on it.
And then I'll just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will eventually be like, well, don't you have any ideas on this stuff? Right?
Yes.
And then it's like, because the question I always get in my workshops is, well, I'm really good at solving problems, Nick.
Yeah.
When do I get to fix it? Okay. One of two ways you get to fix it. One, if they ask for help.
Yeah.
You got some ideas on this? Or two, I want you to listen. And if there's a long pause, and you know, tell me more, get a little more out of that tank. And if there's some way you can help, just ask for permission.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, can I give you some ideas on that? Or do you want to talk about some solutions? Or are we good? And man, half the times, you're good.
Yeah. So is that part of, I haven't been taking notes. So is that one of the five of aspects of listening?
That is actually number five.
Oh, okay.
You thought we were still
going to have to review.
You're still on number. You thought I was still on number one.
I'm not listening very well over here.
Well, that's all right. I personally checked out about 12 minutes ago. But no, so the five aspects of listening. Sometimes in a conversation, you got to listen for the details.
Okay.
The details matter. Sometimes it's not about the details. Sometimes it's big picture. So the second one's big picture. Third aspect of listening. Sometimes it's not about the details. It's not about the big picture. Sometimes it's about what's not being said.
Okay. You almost have language.
Yeah. You got to ignore what they're saying and think about what they're not saying. And sometimes that's body language and sometimes it's just silence.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth aspect of listening is sometimes we got to listen for empathy or the opportunity to show empathy or to empathize.
Okay.
Fifth aspect of listening, some of the conversations we have, not all guys, but some of them are about solving problems.
Okay.
Sometimes there's a problem to solve. Boy, that is where we shine. That is the fifth aspect of listening. If somebody comes to you and says, I got a problem, I need some help solving it, that's a problem solving conversation.
Yeah.
If they don't start the conversation like that, then it's probably not.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably not. So my challenge, I guess, to everybody listening or what I'd encourage you to do is next time you find yourself in a conversation, I just want you to ask yourself, what should I be listening for? What is it? Is it details? Is it big picture? Is it what's not being said? Is it listen to empathize? Or is there a problem I can solve? I think we get better at this. We're gonna have greater degree of influence with those we serve. We'll be a better communicator. And I think that's one of the things that you've done so well in your career as a nurse, sitting down with those ladies and some men and really listening to where they're at this stage of their life. And like you said last time, if you can fix what's on the inside, then what's on the outside goes a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, guys, that's all I've got this time. Till next time, take care.